It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Big show for you. John C. Dvorak is here. Mark Million, Nathan Olivares, Giles from the Wall Street Journal. Of course, the big story, WhatsApp, $16 billion. We'll also talk about the Comcast Netflix deal and a little bit of a bug in Apple source code that caused a great big headache. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 446, recorded February 23rd, 2014. Go to fail. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT. And by FreshBooks, the simple online accounting solution built for small business owners just like you who want to skip the headache of tax time. For a limited time, try FreshBooks free for 60 days. To get started, visit getfreshbooks.com now and enter This Week in Tech in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet with coworkers and clients anywhere. Share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing. Even present from an iPad. Start your 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TWIT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at Gazelle.com. It's time for TWIT This Week in Tech, the show that covers your week's tech news, wraps it all up in a tiny little package. We put a bow on it every Sunday afternoon, and part of the thing we do here is we bring in some of the best people to really analyze the week's stories. And what a week this has been. Let me start all the way on your right. John C. Dvorak, or your left, I guess. John C. Dvorak is here.
Hi.
ChannelDvorak.com. he's a good-looking fella. I'm sorry, did I wake you?
No, you didn't mention NoAgendaShow.com.
NoAgendaShow.com. Twice a week.
Yeah.
It's double the pleasure of the last
NoAgendaShow.com. That's the moneymaker.
And also with us, brand new, first time, right?
Yep.
Nathan
yep.
Olivares, Giles, he is one of the newer guys at the Digits blog at the Wall Street Journal. Welcome.
Thanks for having
Where
me
Where were you before that?
Before that, The Verge most recently and Great. Wired, the LA Times.
We're yeah. so glad to have you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Nate and I worked together at the LA Times.
Actually. There you go. Mark Million, Back formerly LA Times. He's Back now at Bloomberg Business Week. It's great to have you, Mark.
Good to be here.
We have some really good people to talk about the very, very big story, WhatsApp. So it's a really fascinating story from a lot of angles. And, of course, the big angle is $19
billion. 350 plus million per employee.
Yeah.
That works there.
That's the highest. First of all, it's the largest acquisition of a VC-funded startup in history. It's one of the largest acquisitions in history. It actually dwarfs HP's acquisition of Ross Perot's EDS. Mm. It's bigger than the Skype acquisition.
It is the biggest internet deal since AOL Time Warner.
And look how well that worked out.
Yeah, this will be.
Exactly. It's actually close to what they paid, $22 billion or something like that. I can't remember, but it's at $19 billion now. So it's $12 million in Facebook stock. It is $4 billion, which is 35% of Facebook's cash position, $4 billion in cash. And so that makes $16
billion. Is this treasury stock that dilutes the value for everybody or not?
It is, I think, a Class C, but I don't know. I'll have to look at that. That's actually a very interesting question for the Bloomberg guy.
He should know that right off the top of his head if he works for Bloomberg.
And then another $3 billion in potential stock grants over the next few years, depending on performance. So it could be – it's any somewhere between $16 and $19 billion. You probably saw the Time Magazine graph. It's the biggest acquisition. It's a whopping acquisition, a deal of historic proportions. Harry McCracken put together a graph of other acquisitions. Motorola was only $12 billion for Google. And remember, gosh, it only seems like a few years ago that Facebook blew us all away by paying $1 billion for Instagram. That's nothing now.
That was jaw-dropping at the time.
They should have held out. Yeah. they're essentially paid one per customer. They paid $100 a head.
No, actually, that's what's interesting about this. Facebook stocks values it around $147 per
head.
User.
Yeah.
WhatsApp was only $42
per I thought
user.
It was 100.
No, 42. So they have, because they have 450 billion users. Is that reasonable? You always talk about that number, that's often a number used
for
this kind of calculation.
During the dot-com era, we used to watch that number all the time.
How much a user is worth.
Yeah, and it tended to be, for a cable TV guy, it would approach $50 in some situations.
So this isn't a weird number.
But generally it's 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that when Paul Allen bought Charter, he paid something like $50 a subscriber, and everybody bemoaned
it was outrageous. Yeah.
Actually, it was more like 100, I think. Outrageous inflationary amount. All right. Well, there's so many ways to slice this. First of all, congratulations to Jan Koum and Brian Acton, the founders.
Yeah. They're buying.
You know, one of the big winners, of course, is Sequoia Capital. They're the only investors in this. They had put in about $60 million into WhatsApp. They're going to get a return of over $3 billion.
So you got to feel pretty good about that right now.
That's a good
yeah,
day.
That was a good bet. And like you said, they were the only VC firm that got in. It seemed like Jan wanted to avoid having a bunch of VCs in there with voting power who were trying to tell him to put ads or whatever in there. So I think he found a believer in Sequoia, and they kind of let him do his thing, and it paid off for them.
According to a Fortune, Sequoia's stake in WhatsApp is less than 20%, high teens, which means that more than 80% stays with the founders and the employees. That's a pretty big
Jan
payday.
Jan, especially, is a multibillionaire many times over.
Like 45% of the company or somewhere around that, I think, is Jan's.
That's a lot of $6-plus billion. It's an interesting story. When he was 16... he and his mom moved out of Kiev in the Ukraine, leaving his dad behind. They were Jewish, and there was widespread anti-Semitism at the time. Came to the United States. According to a really good article written by Forbes, where she did the research, his mom brought a suitcase full of Soviet-era notebooks with her because she was afraid they wouldn't have the money to buy notebooks for Jan's schooling. He didn't like school very much, but was a computer whiz, studied networking. Was able to get a job, didn't go to college, was able to get a job out of high school, didn't go to college right away, at Ernst & Young working as a technical auditor. That's when he first met Brian Acton at Yahoo. He sat across from him. Acton, employee 44 at Yahoo. He had some money. He'd been investing in the tech bubble, but lost a lot of it in the tech crash. Both he and Jan hit it off. After Acton left, Jan joined him at Yahoo. They both left Yahoo. And around 2007, I think, they went for a year traveling around South America playing Ultimate Frisbee and just hanging out.
Sounds like fun.
They can do that for the rest of their life now.
They can play a lot of Ultimate Frisbee for that amount of money.
Buy some very high-quality Frisbee discs.
Handmade.
Interesting post.
To buy a commercial Frisbee.
This is on Flyer Talk, which is a forum for frequent flyers. May 9th, 2009, JKB76. I don't know if this is Brian or Jan, but he says, "Hi there. Shameless self-promotion. I couldn't resist posting here because I wrote this app with people like us in mind, those who travel a lot. Ever since I semi-retired a little over a year ago," must be Brian Acton, "I've been traveling a lot and hated it when people tried to reach me when I'm on the plane or out of the country. So I asked myself, wouldn't it be cool if I just set a status for my iPhone, similar to how you could set a status on Yahoo Messenger or Skype? Problem found, problem solved. I spent a couple of months, developed a little tool called WhatsApp. It can let you set a status like on the flight to Munich, send email instead of calling me. I would like to hear your feedback and suggestions on the idea." This thread is still alive. And if you go to the last page, there's quite a few people saying, "Hey, I like that app. Nice job. You made some money, didn't you?" Pretty amazing story.
And a BlackBerry app is coming, he says,
yes,
in the announcement.
They did, in fact. One of the real success stories of WhatsApp is it's totally cross-platform.
Except for iPad and desktop.
Desktop, which is weird, isn't it?
Which is kind of annoying. Hopefully, Facebook will maybe help them out with that.
Did you use WhatsApp before this?
I had it. It's obviously not big in America, so most of my friends here I wouldn't talk to. But I spoke with some of my colleagues who are based overseas.
I had one friend who did a lot of overseas traveling. That's how I got to know WhatsApp, because she would use it all the time. And it's the only reason I had it. I'd uninstalled it a long time ago because I didn't need to talk to her anymore. And when I reinstalled it, it's not changed much over the last few years. It allows you to send text messages, video, audio, pictures. You could do group or single contact messaging. It takes the contacts from your contact book because it uses your phone number as your contact name.
Mm-hmm. Which it's a number of apps. Even Facebook Messenger does that now. They let you use your phone number to find other friends to connect with. But it's become huge. It's become big in parts of Asia, but huge in Europe because the European carriers tend to gouge customers and charge extra if you're texting with someone who's in another country. I mean, going to another country in Europe is like going to another state here. Right. You can road trip to another country. So this has really taken off there as an alternative to having to pay per message through your carrier.
Another reason, my friend Alan Tepper, who's from Spain and speaks Castilian, he'd want me to say that, Castilian, says it takes diacritical marks very well, you know, accents and circumflexes, cedillas. And that's something a lot of text messaging apps don't do very well. You know, Facebook acquired Beluga 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Did all the same things, right? It's identical. That's what they made Messenger.
Except it didn't have the track. It didn't have 450 million people using it.
That's the key, isn't it? Have you used it, Nathan? Did you use WhatsApp before this?
Yeah, actually, earlier this week, I wrote a story just kind of rounding up all of the different apps out there.
Oh, did you?
There's like KakaoTalk, there's Line, apps that are a lot more popular in Asia because they have stickers and you can share like animated little like characters that are dancing around and stuff. Those apps can do far more stuff, and they're actually way more popular in Asia. But like Mark said, in Europe, WhatsApp is kind of where it's at because there's just this big, big momentum. Everyone's on it. And really, I mean, when I look at WhatsApp, I don't really see too much that I want to do with it. I don't use it very much, you know, because a lot of my friends are in the U.S. But, you know, a messaging service is only as good as the people who you're messaging with. So if all your friends are on it, it kind of makes sense.
It's the network effect. That's what made Facebook successful.
Exactly.
Is it? In fact, they say in Spain, it's almost 100% penetration. Nobody uses text messaging in Spain. WhatsApp, there were 54 billion messages December 31st of this year for New Year's Eve. 54 billion.
Yeah.
450 million users. It's currently more text messaging goes over WhatsApp than all of the SMS services worldwide.
There's not 54 billion users.
No. It's 450 million users, but they send a lot of messages.
Well, you said 54. I'm just
54 billion messages.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Then you said, I'm sorry. You can listen on the tape, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I said it right.
No, you'll see.
It's a good thing you're here to keep them in line.
Thank God we're taping this. In any event, it's clearly successful. But my question is, what keeps it successful? This is the problem with the network effect. If somebody leaves, as they did MySpace, and uses something else, remember ICQ? That was pretty popular in the day.
AOL Instant Messenger was
Somebody bought ICQ and screwed it up, though.
AOL?
Was it AOL?
ICQ, yeah. And at the time, somebody was tweeting a New York Times story that they covered at the time saying, AOL's acquisition of ICQ gives them access to a new user base, a younger audience that may not like. I mean,
same thing.
Well, this is like the old. It used to be before, predating all this to be one of the older farts here. This used to be the reputation Xerox had. Xerox used to buy a company, and then the thing would just fold. And they bought Shugart Drives. Boom, no more disk drive company there. They had to go off, spin off another one. It was one after the other, and there's a bunch of jinx companies. I think AOL was one for a long time, and it hasn't happened yet with Facebook, but but Yahoo is the best example of this. They buy a bunch of stuff and then they let it languish and it drops dead.
Flickr.
But Yahoo tends to buy things.
Go back to the ones like broadcast.com. You know where they threw $3 billion down the drain.
Yahoo tends to buy things that don't fit into its mission, whatever that may be. I mean, Delicious was an example of just
buying
something because it's available.
That was a product a lot of people liked.
Yeah. But it didn't fit. Yahoo's core audience is mass consumption. They're a portal, and it's the homepage that my mom has on her computer, and to go after sort of this like niche techie audience that Delicious was big in was just a weird pick for them. But I think WhatsApp, their user base pretty much fits into where Facebook wants to be.
That raises a couple of questions because they already had the technology.
Yep. Oh,
right.
Yeah,
Facebook they didn't gain anything.
Yeah.
By the way, WhatsApp is written in Erlang, scales nicely, but I doubt it will integrate well into the PHP infrastructure over at Facebook. In fact, they say they're not going to integrate it; that it's going to be
a standalone
app.
Well, that's actually wise. That's smart.
You'd lose the. Yeah. Well, you got to be careful because you don't want. The real challenge here is you can't monetize it very well because one of the things that is a big deal at WhatsApp is no ads. They even say that when you first sign up, why we don't take ads.
And they're saying they're going to keep it that way, ad-free, which...
You have to, because...
All right, I'll go out on a limb. This is a disaster. It's the stupidest thing these guys could have possibly done.
It's. I agree with you 100%. You agree?
You know, I think $19 billion right now seems like an insane amount of money, and it could end up being a really stupid move, but they need to get more and more users. They need to grow, and they just got 450 million people who aren't using their service.
All of those people also using Facebook already?
They might be using Facebook, but they're not using Facebook
for messaging.
Yeah. So maybe they're using Facebook to see, their friends' baby pictures or, sharing a news story. So maybe they're not sharing every day in the same way. Here, this is a very sticky app. I think there's something like 70% of the people who use WhatsApp use it every single day.
40 averages 1,200 messages a month sent, over 2,000 received. 40 pictures a month.
The trouble is that with these types of apps, the way that they're designed, the way that they become so popular is that there is no lock-in into these apps.
Your
contactless is what's on your phone.
It could evaporate
that any
tomorrow.
Other app can use.
Take it and go anywhere else you want.
And even Nathan think it wasn't a bad idea, Mark?
I think there are two schools of thought. Like we talked about earlier, the price per user is not crazy when compared to Twitter or Facebook. And this that's as valued by the stock market. So.
But before you go on with that argument, the reason that price per user was extremely important as a metric in the late 90s in particular is because those users translated to dollar revenue.
There's no revenue in this. It's a buck a year, maybe.
So if you have a guy... And you're paying. If you say you're paying $10 a head, that guy has to generate $10 in revenue at some point to get your money back. If you're paying like 50, 60, 70, whatever these guys paid, you say 60, 50.
I say 45.
45 is a lot.
Well, especially since it's a buck a year.
It takes 45 years to pay out.
That's the only revenue model they have right now. It's still a relatively young app. They could introduce stickers, which has been actually a surprisingly big business.
Stickers is
it's a
not
small
a
business,
$16
billion. For the Asian
huge,
company, it's like Tencent and Line.
It's Path's entire model.
Messy websites.
There are other conceivable models like micropayments that perhaps could be big multi-billion dollar businesses if you can integrate them into WhatsApp and not lose the user base. I don't think they can add ads, but they could add functionality.
Well, since you bring that up, because a lot of the Asian messaging apps like Line and others are actually using their messaging apps as kind of like a platform
system.
To get payments, to get stickers, but then also to serve up games, to serve up like ebooks, all sorts of things on the top of it. So they're trying to kind of leverage that network that exists.
I think you can bet that Facebook is aware of that and says, this is what we're going to have to do with WhatsApp. But you're never going to get in China because China's already occupied. You're going to get the countries you've got. I don't know if the growth, they more than doubled this year.
They did.
But I don't know if that growth curve can continue.
Well, one thing that was interesting, there's a story that I think it was like the China Daily Morning Post or something like that, that was in 2012 that said 45% of Hong Kong was using WhatsApp. So it is popular in mainland China, I guess.
I was talking to one of my colleagues in Taiwan after the deal went down in Taipei, and he was telling me, we were talking about this sort of lock-in effect, and he was saying him and all of his friends in Taipei have WhatsApp, but they also have Line and WeChat. They have them.
They have them all.
Yeah, yeah.
And they send stickers online, and then they'll switch over to a new app to chat. And
but
it just depends on who's on.
If you're in WhatsApp, you can only message WhatsApp users. You can't go cross-platform.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Which is why
now
you have
need
all
an
the
intermediary product that we could all. Four of us can design right now, and they could talk to all these different.
It's called Facebook. I think there's a certain amount of this. It could be called Facebook because you could say, "Well, okay, this will interoperate with Facebook Messenger. Maybe we'll acquire another one."
You don't want to be a Facebook member,
but you are by default. I bet you.
I'm not.
But I bet you, as a WhatsApp user, you become a default Facebook user.
They'll use your Facebook login or something.
I refuse.
Oh, good luck.
That would probably be pretty far.
Thank God there's somebody like you.
They're going to have to be careful with how they play this because already the acquisition has gone down, and you can see a lot of users online who are scared that Facebook is going to eat up all their data and ship it over to the NSA. And, I've been talking with the – like the Mark Zuckerberg of Russia, this guy Pavel Durov.
He's an interesting character.
So the his Mark new project is
Zuckerberg of Russia.
Yeah,
I've been reading your articles about
VKontakte, which is the biggest social network in Russia. His newest project is called Telegram. It's essentially a WhatsApp clone for messaging, and their usage has skyrocketed since the deal because they play up their encryption and the security of the messages that you send on their service, how it's unbreakable. And so they've already seen a lot of people in Spain and the Netherlands and Germany and some of these very privacy conscious markets jumping from WhatsApp to Telegram.
This should be a smart thing to do with WhatsApp. Maybe Mark Zuckerberg steps forward and says, I want to be the Pavel Durov of the United States. No, we're in seriousness, steps forward and says, we're going to make this like Threema. We're going to make this encrypted end-to-end. We're going to make it secure. We know your privacy counts. We are going to...
He doesn't believe that himself.
He says the world and life is better when you're connected.
He likes the idea of no privacy.
Yeah. So here's the other possibility. This was a pure paranoia play. I mean, this is a company that's growing at a faster rate than Facebook.
That could be. Yeah, yeah.
They're a threat to Facebook. Instagram, I think, was a paranoia play. You buy Instagram not because you plan to do anything with it.
You've thought this out. That's why this segment's so long. You've been sitting there stewing with this information because you're like...
Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
You're popping with one idea after another. It's nonstop.
Well, here's the one rumor, according to... I think it was it Fortune? Said that... Google had offered them $10 billion earlier this week.
Fortune and The Information have done some reporting.
The Information said that Google, crazy, 6 months ago offered WhatsApp an unspecified amount of money to let them know before they made a deal with anybody else. Apparently, according to The Information, Amir Afradi writing this, no. WhatsApp turned them down. I think that's a funny thing to say. Look, we don't want you, but please, if somebody else tries to buy you, let us know.
Especially Facebook.
Yeah. Is it credible that Google could have offered them $10 billion?
Well, Google has more cash than Facebook. Google could have offered however much
Fortune
Google
says they
wants
have two sources that say this. But that Facebook offered WhatsApp a seat on the board and Google did not. That doesn't surprise me because Jan Koum and Brian Acton clearly want to maintain control. Mm-hmm. And if they have a seat on the board, they have a shot at derailing any effort to absorb the company and things like that. So they want the power. They don't just want the money. They want to protect their baby. But I think Facebook did this because they were scared.
Of what?
Of getting MySpaced. That's their biggest problem right now, is that Facebook needs to... I'm sure that they have a metric in their mind. If we get to this certain point, then we've got critical mass and we can't be MySpaced. We cannot be replaced by some other social network. But we've got to get to that point. And Mark is all in. This is basically him pushing in every bit of his chips, 10% of his cash position. No, 30% of his cash position, 10% of his company's value. I'm going to go all in because we just have to survive several more years and then no one can assail us.
That's laughable.
You think there's nowhere you can get to that you're safe?
Right. Yeah, you have to just be running all the time. I mean, it reminds me then he'll be fine, but... As opposed to MySpace, which stopped running.
Mark's only spending inflated stock, mostly spending inflated stock. Right.
He's taking advantage of his IPO. This is the time to do it.
Yes. Yeah.
You do it when you can. And it's like, but to maintain a running position like Adobe does, let's say, with Photoshop, they keep changing. It's as though somebody's chasing them, even though I'm sure there's nothing changing as chasing them except, the GIMP on Linux. And so, they keep modifying. They're moving ahead as if someone's chasing them, and that's how you stay.
That's how you do it
at the top.
What was it? Andy Grove wrote his book, "Only the Paranoid Survive." CEO of Intel.
You can look at Instagram as kind of a similar defensive move. I mean, Facebook became this place where everyone was sharing their photos so much to the detriment of Flickr. Now Instagram is becoming the one where everyone is sharing the photos, especially younger user base. So what do? They bought Instagram and they left it alone. They didn't absorb it in the company. They didn't potentially ruin it. Now, here you have another thing. Instead of folks messaging on Facebook, they're messaging on apps like WhatsApp.
Right.
So they're going to buy it, ideally, if they do what they say now, leave it alone. So maybe there's other defensive ways.
Where does Snapchat fit into the picture?
Well, now I don't laugh so much at Snapchat saying, I'm not going to take your $3 billion. That maybe they were right. Maybe $3 billion is a paltry sum.
Well, WhatsApp... Snapchat doesn't really talk about their user numbers, so we don't really have a good sense of how big they are. Generally, when you don't talk, that means you're not as big as people think you are.
That would be your normal guess, yes.
Yeah. WhatsApp has talked about message numbers, user numbers. 450 million, I can assure you Snapchat is nowhere near
that's a lot.
That big.
No
one's, it's primarily
no one's that
a U.S.
That's twice Twitter's size.
Snapchat.
No one's that big except Facebook.
I think Snapchat needs to be kept. You have to keep an eye on that company. I'm just saying this is something.
I like the app. I use the app. I think it's fun.
Really?
Thing for exchanging
sexting
messages.
Or what do you do with it?
He sends a lot of pictures of his dog.
You're like all us other.
That's my dog.
Yeah, a lot of pictures of his dog. Yeah. You're like all us other old guys. We assume.
Sexting. Hey.
They must be sending dirty pictures.
Send me a picture.
Kids go, no, what?
Actually, it's my partner who keeps asking for pictures.
Oh, really? Adam?
Yeah.
Adam Curry wants pictures of your junk?
Not me.
Oh, okay.
That's good. He's listening to the show, so he'll have something to say about that on the next show.
He usually has something profane to say to Leo.
Oh, man.
Did he like the bobblehead, by the way?
I still have it in a box. I haven't shipped it yet.
Oh, come on. I'll help you. We'll ship it. Next time, bring it. We'll ship it. You got to give it to Adam.
That's I have it aside. I put it aside specifically to say.
So Pavel Durov is an interesting. I've been reading your articles, and I think this is fascinating. Because we don't know about him because he's Russian.
Mm-hmm.
But is he really like the next Mark Zuckerberg? Is he building an empire in Russia?
He's certainly already built an empire. I talked to him just a couple days ago after the WhatsApp deal. Yeah, and he's becoming less so now. We did a feature in Business Week a little while ago about how he may have been a Kremlin target in Russia because he's sort of a big, successful self-made entrepreneur in Russia who is a contrarian, especially politically. I mean, I talked to him a couple days ago. We were talking about libertarianism. He's a libertarian. And he's very against the grain in Russia. He's spending some time in Berlin right now working on Telegram. So he was essentially telling me, I have all the money I could possibly ever need just after VK. And now all I want to do is build products that the whole world can use. And that's what he's doing with Telegram, which is he's set up as a nonprofit entity, which is kind of interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
He says he has absolutely no plans to sell. His engineers are well compensated and he doesn't need the money. And the Russian internet market is Telegram is targeted at the whole world. It's not very big in Russia right now.
Is it like a Facebook basically or? It's a social network?
It's more of a WhatsApp, right?
VK is a social network just like Facebook.
I see.
It looks very similar to Facebook. His new app, Telegram, is essentially a WhatsApp clone.
Interesting.
The Russian internet market is interesting because their language is so different from any other language on Earth, pretty much. So Facebook, Google, all of these companies that have essentially taken over the world, except for China, Russia has been the exception for all of them as well. So VK is much bigger than Facebook in Russia. Yandex is the Google of Russia. They have vastly more market share than Google. So Russia has been an interesting market to watch just because of it's almost like a little melting pot that's isolated from the rest of the internet.
You were smart to move to global tech because this is – it's very clear that nobody succeeds in the U.S. alone anymore. And WhatsApp is Facebook saying this was not used in the U.S. We need to have a presence globally
and
in markets we don't.
If you listen to Mark Zuckerberg's conference call, he had to take great pains to express to shareholders why they should believe in this acquisition.
Right.
You may not have heard of this. It's not big in America, but if you look at Latin America, if you look at India, if you look at Europe, WhatsApp is massive. The story that I wrote after the WhatsApp deal is that this is essentially buying markets that Facebook, for the most part, already has a hold in. They're essentially buying more attention from their users there, but it's not going to make much headway in Asia. I mean, WeChat has China locked down. That's the WhatsApp of China. Like we were talking about earlier, Line is the WhatsApp of Japan. Kakao is the WhatsApp of South Korea. And all of these big developed markets where there are a lot of smartphones, WhatsApp is not going to be making much of a dent there. So Asia is still going to – Facebook is still going to need to figure out how to do something big in Asia.
I just have to feel like Zuckerberg must feel like he's is on a hamster wheel. That it's there's always going to be these up and coming, and now more than ever, he's just raised the ante. Robert Reich, the former Secretary of Labor, wrote an article saying this is bad for America because it doesn't create jobs. It's just a huge
right. He could have bailed out Detroit.
He literally could have, with less money. Yeah, he could have bought the Bahamas. Several times
over. No, I think Reich is right. And so I'm sticking with my position with this. This is a bad thing.
I'm with you. I think, though, I have to say that it probably is the case that Facebook felt like it had to do it. Because if they don't, their position slips away.
But I think Yahoo felt they had to buy Broadcast.com.
Yeah, that was a mistake. More so because you gave Mark Cuban a pulpit. Now he's got the
Mavericks
basketball team.
Yeah, he's on TV all annoying. The time. He's on that TV show, the Shark Tank.
Shark Tank. That's really the cost of buying.
He's done. Yeah, it hurt the culture. Championship.
It hurt the culture.
Hurt America. Mark Cuban, bad for America. Hey, I'll tell you another company that's bad for America. It's we'll Comcast. We're going to talk about that. You think Mark's listening?
He listens to everything. I wrote something once. He sent me an email like the next day.
The only time I've never met the guy. Only time I was at South by Southwest. He was going to give a lecture, and he started off so confrontational and annoying, and then accidentally the fire alarm went off in the building. I think somebody went and pulled it. And we all filed out relievedly.
And
filed
never
out
came back.
And never came back. That's my only experience with Mark Cuban, wow. Saved by the fire alarm. Boy, you got a good panel today. And on Fuego as well.
Mr. I have to John stop eating during the show, apparently.
Somebody. Oh, don't listen to them. You're having lovely Box snacks. A South Pacific plantain that's better for you than a Pringles, but tastes every bit as good.
What's good.
I like the sweet blueberry almonds.
Yeah.
That's an up-and-coming sponsor. I shouldn't give them a plug.
What?
Yeah. Nature Box.
Astonishing.
Astonishing. We also have Nathan Olivares-Giles, who's brand new at the Wall Street Journal Digits.
Yep.
So when Mossberg left, how many people did it take to replace him?
Eight? How much did he weigh at the time?
Well, there were two gadget columnists.
Right.
We now have two more. But then there have been a few other jobs created.
It's great. I'm not complaining.
Mine. Yeah. So, there's a big team there when All Things D as a whole left.
I think the Journal clearly realizes how important this is. The Times has done the same thing with the replacement of Pogue. They've replaced him with a few other people. This is a big beat. Thank goodness.
Well, it's kind of becoming ubiquitous. I mean, tech
everybody
is
cares.
Everywhere. It's in politics. It's in it's in education. It's in all facets of our life. So you can't really ignore it.
Glad to have you, Nathan.
You
thanks
can.
For joining us. Oh, you can ignore
it. Just ignore it.
Well, you're not even on Facebook, so I'm...
You can't cover this space without being a member. I don't want to be a member, but...
What?
You have
can't
to be
cover
a member.
This space without being on Facebook? Are you kidding me?
But he is on Snapchat, so
are
you get some cred there.
Only for the sexting.
Yeah, I thought so. Also, Mark Millian is here from Bloomberg. He says, you don't have to say Business Week unless you want to do Droopy Dog. Thank you for that. Releasing us.
Come on.
Thank you.
Bloomberg Business Week.
Show today.
Walked right into that one.
Brought to you by one of New York City's greatest places to work. 2 years in a row, Crane's Business has given Squarespace the top vote.
I don't even know where the company is. Is it in Sunnyvale?
Squarespace is in New York.
New York.
Oh, I've been there. It's beautiful.
And they had a Super Bowl commercial.
$4.5 million Super Bowl. Squarespace is looking for people to work for them, passionate designers and engineers who want to make the web a better place. This sounds like a contest. Squarespace will fly you and your spouse or partner to New York City for a weekend on them for an interview so you could check out Squarespace in person. They actually have a beautiful space. They're great people. I like them. But you need to submit an application before March 15th. BeAPartOfIt.squarespace.com. Isn't that great? Looking for work, engineers, designers, BeAPartOfIt.squarespace.com. We love Squarespace. Our inside Twit blog runs on it. Frankly, I wish our whole site did. It never goes down. You cannot bring a website down with Squarespace. They're always improving the code, the back end. It's hosting plus the software. 25 beautiful templates to start with. And you can try it for free. You don't need a credit card. Just go to squarespace.com, click the Get Started button. You can choose your template. You can start designing your site. You can use the Logo to Creator tool to design a custom logo for you. A lot of small businesses, that's just a blessing. It's easy to use, but if you have some questions, they've got live chat and email support 24/7, plus a completely redesigned customer help site for easier access to self-help articles. I like that. No, oh, the raccoon. Chad's giving us a new logo right now. I love it. There are help articles and video workshops on the website. They do e-commerce now on every one of their plan levels, even the $8 a month level, which is great for nonprofits, cash wedding registries, school fund drives. But if you want to start a business, Squarespace is a great place to do it. Starting as low as $8 a month, and when you sign up for a year, you get the domain name free. Some of their developers work on mobile, too. They've got a great blog app that lets you post. You can change layouts. You can monitor comments on the go. And the Metric app that just came out lets you check site stats like page views and unique visitors. You can even check your social media followers.
I'm applying right now.
Would you please? You don't need Facebook. You need Squarespace.
I get a free trip.
Oh, you should. You know. You can start your free 2-week trial with no credit card needed. Start building your website right now, squarespace.com. If you decide to buy, you don't need to do this unless you decide to buy. Use the offer code TWIT. That's all. Just TWIT. And we will help you with 10% off. How about that? Squarespace. We love them. And, yeah, let me repeat that. They're looking for designers and engineers. You got to be good, though. You can't just be some guy.
Some schlub.
Trying to score a free trip.
Oh, well, that's no good.
Be a part of it. That's squarespace.com. You got till March 15th. They are in a growth spurt. That's why they did a Super Bowl ad. I think they got some venture money or something. I think they're taking off.
I think they did one round a few years ago. But their revenue is insane.
I know.
It's all subscription-based.
Isn't it great? If ever a company deserved to succeed, it's Squarespace. And Facebook, you better not buy Squarespace. I'll be peeved. I'll be miffed. All right, speaking of miffed, and this is complicated. So I understand this is complicated. And I'm going to give you a little backstory before we talk about this. But essentially, the story is that Netflix has agreed to pay Comcast for high-speed streaming to Comcast customers. Now, here's why it's complicated. If Netflix were just using the public internet, they would, you know, like we do, they could just go in on the network. But they understand that 40% of all primetime traffic in the U.S. is Netflix traffic, that they use a lot of bandwidth, that if you can give them 2 or 3 megabits per second, consistent, sustained, they could do 2K and now on some things even 4K video, and they want that bandwidth. So what they've been trying to do is get a peering arrangement with Comcast. That's where basically it's a direct connect between Comcast and Netflix. In fact, they tried to get Netflix servers in Comcast operations centers, inside the data centers. Comcast hasn't agreed to that, but they will connect to Netflix servers at data centers operated by Cogent and other companies that provide the bandwidth for Netflix. Comcast said, if you want us to do that, you're going to have to give us money. Netflix said no. And according to Reed Hastings, since October, the bandwidth for Comcast subscribers, available to Comcast subscribers, and Netflix pays close attention to this, has dropped 27%. And, of course, my presumption is that somebody at Comcast has got a knob, and they're turning that knob. They're turning the knob down until they squeeze them hard enough. And then Netflix says, well, all right, fine.
Why wouldn't you do that?
If I were Netflix, I might do that. Depends on whether they can afford it. I mean, one of the issues that's come up is this could put them out of business. That it depends on how much they're paying, but there's a point beyond which they can't afford to pay for peering.
And then they'll raise prices on customers.
Well, and this is what, we'll end up paying for.
How much do they have to raise the price to pay for this, whatever it is? It can't be more than a dollar.
I think they're in a very price-sensitive business. They're charging $7.99 a month. You can't charge $10 a month. People are going to go,
you could jack it up. Remember when the cable business began, it was dirt cheap, and then all of a sudden now it's like $100. I'm not convinced of this.
I'm
surprised that Comcast and these guys haven't gouged these characters long ago.
By the way, it's just the beginning because Verizon and AT&T are both trying to get deals like this. It's the end of net neutrality as we know it. It is very bad news for consumers. And here's my point of view. It's basically setting up toll roads on the internet. It's as if UPS said to you, John C. Dvorak, I'm Amazon. I'm shipping to John C. Dvorak. I pay UPS to ship the product out. It's as if the driver pulled up to you and said, hey, John, you want this package? Give me a buck. Otherwise, I'm bringing it tomorrow. It's just like that. It's double dipping.
Yeah.
We pay Comcast for full and unfettered access to the internet.
It's in Comcast's interest to give Netflix a nice fat pipe because that makes me a happy customer.
Right.
But you know why this doesn't work? Because Comcast has a monopoly. There's nowhere else to go.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
I agree. It's the
government
problem.
Regulation. They let this stuff go out of control like this. We used to have, when I was a kid, we used to have ISPs all over the place.
Not anymore. Those were in the days of 300 baud modems.
Well, whatever. It's beside the point.
When you were a kid?
When I was a kid.
You had internet?
I did. So we had,
Daddy worked for the Air Force.
So we still have, at my place, I got AT&T I can use.
It's a duopoly.
I've got Sonic.net.
But that's over the AT&T copper.
It's beside the point.
Not really.
I pay a heck of a lot less than I would if I was on AT&T. I pay almost nothing for Sonic.net.
Third-party ISPs on DSL, the way to go. But it's not as fast as your cable.
No, cable's faster, but it's more reliable, and it has a steadier connection. It's much better for podcasting, by the way.
In most places, we are in a duopoly, where you have the cable company and the phone company. And that's
right, and Google's trying to move in to make it a triple.
That would be awesome.
Of course, they're moving into the weirdest places.
I'll give you the argument on both sides. From the point of view of Comcast, they're asking Comcast to peer with Netflix. And Comcast is saying, we'll do it. We'll give you better access to our customers, but you got to pay for that. From Netflix's point of view, is Comcast is basically holding us up.
Put your own network up.
You can't. It's not how it works.
Oh, well,
It's called the internet, John.
Doing. It's what Google's doing.
I don't think Netflix has Google money.
Yeah. That's true.
So who's at fault here?
The government.
Unfortunately, the chairman of the FCC is a former cable company lobbyist. So
Who
the FCC,
knew?
By the way, and I think this is related, has decided, remember they lost in court over the attempt to enforce net neutrality regulations. They could have appealed. They're not going to. They could have declared internet service providers common carriers. That would have given them jurisdiction. They have decided not to. They've basically folded.
Well, they plan to rewrite the rules. The Washington Post reported.
You know who has to rewrite the rules? Congress. I don't think the FCC. I think what the court was saying is you don't have a congressional mandate to do this. And unless you declare it common carriers, then you have a mandate. And they weren't willing
to
do
that. And they're not going
to
do that, yeah.
So I think Congress is going to have to step up and say. But I don't think they're going to, because do you know how many lobbyists Comcast has in Washington, D.C.?
More than there are congressmen.
100 lobbyists.
Well, there you have it.
They pump millions of dollars into the Congress.
Of course.
There's no way Congress is going to stand up to it.
Well, and no again, way the FCC who is to blame for that? The corrupt Congress or Comcast doing their job?
Well, the X factor is this Comcast charter deal. That's going to come under some antitrust scrutiny. And I think Comcast is going to try not to step on any toes as that sort of...
You know, okay, let me give you an example. Comcast recently bought NBC Universal. One of the deals that they made on that was that Comcast would not slow down internet traffic for would preserve net neutrality. And they blatantly just said, yeah, we're going to screw with Skype. You know, the real problem is that Comcast is in the streaming video business. They have stream picks. They're doing the same thing Netflix does. They're a competitor.
Who let the camel in the tent?
Who?
You.
Oh. Well, I apologize.
So it's all his fault.
Well, I mean, you voted these guys in. The people. Nobody. Have you ever voted for your congressman out and just rotate through people? I mean, the entire Congress is a bunch of incumbents.
That'll fix it.
Well, if everybody voted everybody out every 2 years, it would. No, we're screwed.
Okay,
I like your optimism.
AT&T and Verizon, like, and they merge with Time Warner. Nobody's going to stop. Negative. By the way, O'Malley was on the show last week. He says there's no way they're going to stop this merger. His opinion is, and this is Comcast's position, hey, there's no overlap in customers.
Yeah, you're not buying out your competitor.
Yeah, it's not any competitive.
No, I know. It's a great argument.
Because we set up a monopoly or
to begin with, because the whole thing was set up with all these people taking pieces of different parts of the country. And then, because we don't want one big company running everything. And so, well, they're not my competitor, and they buy them all up. This is what happened with AT&T and the phone business.
Basically bought Ma Bell's back.
Yeah, who was the first one of the Southwest Bell or one of these really sleazeball companies?
They just
bought everybody.
It's like a snowball rolling downhill.
It's the government. They don't stop this. They should just say no. What's the big deal?
They said no to AT&T T-Mobile.
I was stunned.
I was surprised by that.
I was advocating that in every call. I would write about it constantly, but thinking that I got no. It's when it didn't go through, I was stunned.
Eric Lipton wrote in the New York Times this week on Comcast's web of lobbying and philanthropy. We don't know the number because they have more than 100 registered lobbyists in D.C. alone.
Nice.
The team includes 5 former members of Congress. Also, Meredith Atwell Baker, a former FCC commissioner. The one, in fact, who voted to approve the deal for Comcast and NBC to unite. If you've been watching House of Cards, this all sounds extremely familiar.
Yeah, the storyline is the same thing.
Comcast has also done an interesting thing. They have a nonprofit foundation. They fund groups like the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, who, interestingly enough, mere hours after the Time Warner Comcast merger announcement, issued a statement saying it was a win-win for America business.
A win-win, yeah. A win
it's for, a win-win.
For the two companies.
For Time Warner Cable and Comcast. Yeah, it's a win-win. It's a little depressing, frankly. Does anybody want to defend Comcast here? Anybody?
Not me.
I'll do it.
Surprise there.
There's a guy out there raising his hand. Who do you work for, sir?
Comcast.
Charter.
Mine with peering agreements is that peering agreements are typically beneficial for both.
And that's what Cogent.
In this case, you got Netflix. That's right. Sending an awful lot of data to Comcast.
Right. So that's you're exactly right. A typical peering arrangement is symmetrical. You send me data, I'll send you data. It's and that makes a lot of sense. One of the reasons, frankly, we get sweetheart deals on bandwidth because some of our providers want to have a backstream so that they, you know, AOL for a long time carried our content because they wanted to have peering relationships with systems that were sending them a lot of content.
Why don't you ask me why I'm going to defend Comcast?
Why will you defend Comcast?
Because it's Comcastic.
Oh, shut up.
I haven't used that gag for a while.
Oh, shut up. I agree that there are some not unrealistic arguments for why Cogent, as among others, should pay for access, that these peering relationships aren't symmetric. But on the other hand, I think it's in Comcast's commercial interest to provide fast access to YouTube, Netflix. By the way, there's some, I was told by another networking fellow that Amazon is coming up against this. Amazon Web Services, another example of a company that's pumping a lot of data. Almost all apps nowadays run on Amazon Web Services. They're to get a peering relationship with a company like Comcast. Comcast wants money. But don't we pay Comcast for fast access?
Here's what's going to happen. The whole idea is just to get more money. And so you're going to be the big Netflix guy. I'm not. I don't need and there's going to be a special. It's going to be like the cable thing.
But it doesn't stop with Netflix. HBO, it goes to YouTube. No, it goes to Amazon. It goes to Twit. They're going to come to me and say, if you would like full access to our users.
It's the same model they use for Showtime and HBO and all the rest. You pay a little extra. Premium. Or you pay an extra dollar, you get a fast connection to Netflix. You pay another extra dollar, you get a fast connection to Amazon. You pay another and it'll be packaged.
But it's not they're not charging us.
They're going to do that.
And charge Netflix.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why wouldn't they charge?
They need more money to pay for
content. The public is more.
Once there's a direct relationship showing harm to the consumer, then that's when the government stands up and is at arms.
You're cracking me up.
This is a theory. And
when do consumers stand up and say, hey, I'm getting crap service? See, what happens
service
really
isn't that bad.
What happens is that most people don't know any better, and they say, geez, Netflix really sucks. They don't cancel Comcast because they don't have a choice. They cancel Netflix.
They will get the deal. There's going to be, because they're used to this model. A little HBO, you get this thing. How many HBO movies do you watch a month? One? Two? Maybe you watch a couple of things. It's not worth the money, but you'd pay for it. It's just the old menu thing, the item, the bundling.
That's not how it's going to play out for the web, for the internet. I mean, that might be the cable model. Nobody likes the cable model. Everybody hates their cable bill. It's inflated. We know we pay too much. Everybody's been complaining about it for a long time. On the web, the expectation is everything is free. And then you have access to it at, you know, equally, not choked down, not one slow.
Well, that's not true.
So if you see a Netflix charge on your Comcast bill, it's not going to work.
Has the business service, which costs more. They have the high speed, this and that costs more.
There are some of us, and I'm one of them, who will pay anything for fast internet.
There are some. I'm not one of those. I mean, maybe you can pay anything, but I think there's a lot of folks who can't. I think what we'll see instead is we're going to see more of this kind of deal where instead of the customer paying a little bit more for access to whatever services they want, you're going to see companies paying the guys controlling the pipes, in this case Comcast, and then you're going to see the charges going up for how much we pay for Netflix or how much we pay for, you know, Spotify or anything that we're using and subscribing
to.
Or
whatever.
We're going to pay more no matter
what. Just saying it's
not going to come in the bundle bill. It's going to come in these little fractured pieces.
Nate, you were subscribing to a startup ISP in San Francisco, right?
I was, Monkey Brains, yeah.
How did that go?
I mean, it was fantastic. It was super fast. It wasn't the most reliable and steady. I mean, there were times when we would kind of fall out. But, yeah, I made that decision, and I was glad I did.
It's incredible that there are still startups in the ISP.
It is still in business, yeah.
Okay, you still using them?
And I actually got, I guess, pushed out of the mission once my landlord tried to jack up rent prices. So
you
now I'm in the Inner
Google
Sunset.
For that is Google's fault. Go hit that bus.
And I can't get Monkey Brains in the Inner Sunset now. So now I'm actually on, I think it's Comcast.
You can't even get the sun in the
you
Inner Sunset.
You went to the Inner Sunset? I'm sorry.
It's cold. Hey, it's walkable. There's
good
fantastic food out there.
Great food.
Nice
food.
Fantastic cold. Close to Golden Gate Park.
Why do they even call it the sunset?
But I mean, you know, AT&T,
you can't see the sunset.
There's never sun.
But AT&T is talking about this, right? Talking about doing things with specific companies where maybe like Facebook pays for the data that you use for Facebook. So whenever you use Facebook, it doesn't bite into your data cap.
Again, in my opinion, undermining net neutrality because...
I don't think any of these people want to see net neutrality kind of really work out that way.
But we do.
Of course
we
do. But if net neutrality existed, deals like this... When it
would
gets to take place. Right. Exactly. So
no, I
therein
think
lies the...
AT&T sponsored content is a similar plan
that would
let some content providers have better access if they pay for it, ineffectively.
And that's a scary thought because then services like Netflix or someone else won't be able to be displaced when a new upstart offering something genuinely better.
That's,
they won't be able to be MySpace, you could say.
That's my
a terrifying future.
And I, as somebody who is... you know, creating an internet television station that rides on this free public internet, it's threatening to me. Now, I'm already entrenched and established. It probably doesn't affect me, but it's going to affect anybody who wants to start something like this. When No Agenda finally starts doing video.
We're not doing video.
Can
we're
you go
a radio
twice
show.
Weekly?
Yeah, we're going to do twice weekly, Thursdays and Sundays at 9.
9 a.m.
If you want to listen
Pacific,
live.
Pacific, 12 noon Eastern.
Whatever it is.
I take the time to do the math from our listeners so that
well,
they don't
it's a
have
podcast.
To.
We expect most people to download it when they feel like
well,
it.
That's a novel
it's
idea.
The convenience.
Do you stream live though?
Yeah.
Yeah. So people can listen live.
They want.
NoAgendaShow.com.
We also, but we edit on the, sometimes we stop the show. I mean, it's not like this where you live the tape and if you make a screw up, then you fire Chad. So it's a lot different.
You don't even have a Chad.
No, we don't have a Chad.
There's no one to fire.
No.
That's why.
I can't imagine what he'd be like unfiltered. That's something I want to see.
Dvorak Unfiltered?
Yeah.
That's
DHM Plug. That's another show you should listen to.
I think
you're
seeing it, actually. I don't know.
I'm pretty unfiltered.
Anyway, I guess, you know, what's sad is there's nothing to say about this except we're screwed.
I took the Comcast. I think it just is the way it's going to go.
You guys are bumming me out.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Just get used to it.
There may be hope because Om Malik yesterday or last week talked about it, and he's talked about it before. The fact that his apartment building buys bandwidth wholesale and, in effect, becomes an internet service provider for the people who live
in that
apartment.
He lives in an apartment.
Yeah.
Huh.
But one of the reasons he does is he gets amazing internet because – and this may be the – and another way to do this is community internet. A lot of folks have been advocating for this for a while. A town like Petaluma might buy wholesale bandwidths that they wire then the people of the town with, bypassing all of this. And that is the risk, I think, for companies like Comcast – is if you squeeze people enough, at some point they revolt. Don't they?
They could saw it down, though. Cut the wires. That's the way to go.
That's the problem is we want internet. We're hooked on internet. They're counting on that we aren't going to quit Comcast. We aren't, or cut the wires.
Are you getting your money's worth? If you're paying $100 a month for your internet, are you getting your money's worth? If you answer yes, what about 105?
Right.
What about 110?
It has gone up. By the way, another interesting thing, these companies realized, I remember talking to Cablevision 10 years ago, and they said, we don't want to be in the internet business. We need premium content. They knew it was coming, though, and so they carefully worked on their pricing. So the difference now between having Comcast, cable, and internet, and Comcast internet alone is $10.
I have there's no difference. I don't even use it. I use the Dish Network, and then I
have... Because people end up
it's so little difference buying the cable, so they get the best of both worlds. We're just getting used to paying $100 or more for our cable.
Both worlds.
But it's still hovering around a premium price point, and you still have a lot
it's
of folks who can't afford to pay $100 a month. And it's becoming, in our society, where you need access to the internet to, I don't know, like, go to school,
work,
complete
to
you know, homework assignments, to vote,
to be a citizen,
to get a job. If you're not literate online, you are screwed. So,
and
I mean,
that's
this is becoming a social issue.
That's
this is
the
not
governmental
just a,
interest. I agree.
I mean, it's great that you guys can pay $100 a month.
$39.99 for Sonic.net. You get free internet, free national calls to Canada, everywhere in Mexico. All the long distances free. All your local services are free. It's unbelievable. $39.95 a month.
It's fairly consistent. I like Sonic. And I'll tell you, Jane Jasper runs that company. He's just up north.
He's going to start laying cable, you know.
He's fibered a couple of towns up here. He is very forward-thinking. We'll get him on and talk to him. But meanwhile, Comcast, a plea for poor, struggling Wall Street Journal writers. Keep the price low.
Yeah, poor guy's starving to death.
Keep the
they
price
pay crap, these guys.
Low.
Dow Jones.
I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
House of Cards.
Don't ever say that. That's a huge mistake.
He's not. He is struggling. The poor guy, I had to give him some
Journalism
macaroni and cheese earlier.
You never say you can get paid.
You guys did give me a shirt when I came
in. Uh-huh.
So,
you see? You know, see? Yeah, he was there's glad that. To get it. All right. Mobile World Congress is in Barcelona. Already some announcements. We will talk about it. In fact, Samsung already pissing Google off.
Well, they should.
Didn't take long. But first, a word from FreshBooks. You know what pisses me off, or used to, at the end of every month, doing my invoices. If you're a freelancer, this is the worst time of the month. You got to get all the bills, and pay an invoice. And then if you forget to invoice, then you don't get paid. And if you put it off for too long. And I was very relieved in 2004. That's how long I've been a FreshBooks customer. When Amber MacArthur told me about FreshBooks, she said, you don't have, you know, I was using Microsoft Word and Excel to keep track of receipts and expenses and blah, blah, blah. It just saved me. I love FreshBooks. It's a simple cloud-based accounting system. Tax time's coming up. Your accountant will love you if you use FreshBooks or whoever does your taxes. If it's you, you'll love you. Self-love. It's the best kind. If you're not using FreshBooks, you better. Hunting for receipts, digging through invoices, going through your records one by one, the worst. FreshBooks makes it all simple. And, of course, you create professional invoices, capture and track expenses, get real-time business reports, all with a couple of clicks. You can work anywhere with a FreshBooks mobile app for your phone and your tablet. The sooner you start using FreshBooks, the sooner you can start focusing on doing what you love, not paperwork. For a limited time, you could try FreshBooks free, not for 30 days, but for 60 days, we got a 2-month trial for you right now. To get started, visit getfreshbooks.com. Getfreshbooks.com. If you do me a favor, when they ask, how did you hear about us? Put This Week in Tech in so that they know. FreshBooks, getfreshbooks.com, and get that extended 60-day free trial just in time for tax time. It'll get you through the tax season. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I was glad to find out about them. GetFreshBooks.com. We are on the air talking about the week's tech news. John C. Dvorak, Channel Dvorak, and of course, NoAgendaShow.com with Nathan Oliveras Giles, who is new to the Wall Street Journal, the WSD.
WSJD.com.
WSJD.com is
check
a place to go. You know what? It's on my beat check daily,
thanks.
Every morning.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Does the D stand for digits or just
digital?
Digital.
Yeah.
Okay. So big story on WSJD.com. Samsung, first of the announcements coming out of Mobile World Congress, the new Galaxy Gear.
Actually, it's just the Gear 2.
I'm sorry.
They dropped the Galaxy
part. No more Galaxy.
They also dropped Android, which is, these are actually pretty significant little moves for Samsung.
This is Tizen.
It's now running their own operating system. They made this all themselves. No Google here.
It still does require an Android smartphone, probably a Galaxy Note 3, Galaxy S4, or maybe the newer ones.
Yeah, it's going to work with all their Galaxy products.
But, and they will continue to run Android, at least for now. But the fact that they're dropping Android from the Gear 2 is interesting. The Gear 2 is a simpler device, doesn't have the camera. That was a weird thing anyway.
Well, actually, they have two versions. They have one with a camera and a lower-priced one without a camera.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's a lot of things that are interesting. One thing to me that's the most interesting is this comes out 5 months after the original Galaxy Gear, which was pretty much, you know, universally thumbs down in the reviews.
I don't see anybody wearing a Gear anymore.
It's not,
The Pebble's the only one that seems to have any traction at all. I don't know why. I think that's dumb, too. But
I've yet to find a smartwatch that really makes me want to wear it every single day.
Yeah.
I don't think this will be the one that converts me, but, you know, 5 months later, I don't know if I bought the first one, I might be feeling a little bummed out that it's already obsolete less than half a year later.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Was that David Hasselhoff?
It was.
Wearing a smartwatch, huh? He's talking into his watch.
It looks like an old photo they photoshopped.
No, remember the whole ad campaign for the Gear watch was... You've wanted this forever, and they had James Bond, and they had our man.
Dick Tracy.
All right.
Yeah. That was a great ad. That was the best thing about the first Galaxy Gear was that one ad.
Didn't make me want the watch.
Didn't sell watches.
No, but I love Dick Tracy and James Bond. That was cool.
Nothing wrong with that.
What's the Huawei Smart Band? Is there such a thing?
Yeah, it's kind of their answer to the Fitbit, the Nike Plus Fuel Band. Huawei is now making and here's the thing. It's more of a fitness band than a smartwatch, but, you know, they can still... All these things will tell you how many steps you took.
Wait a minute. It has a pop-out earpiece for your voice calls.
There's that.
Wow, that's actually kind of cool.
But do you want to walk around with a headphone coming out of your watch?
Yeah, you want to be talking to it like...
No, it's wireless.
Put it in your... Oh, I see. It's like a Bluetooth.
Yeah. Huh. That's kind of a cool idea.
If you want to get better reception, you lift your arm way up in the air. An idiot.
One more thing to get lost. I don't think I want an earpiece on my watch, personally.
Somebody else will be making calls.
Maybe that's just me.
These health bands were huge at CES. It seemed like every electronics company
has one on.
I have one in my pocket.
It's unusual, though, because usually when I have Czech journalists on, they're all wearing... there you go. Is that the Fitbit Flex?
That's the one they just recalled.
You're going to get electrocuted. Take it off.
No, it has nickel in it.
Not electrocuted. Rash.
Apparently, has nickel in it, and it's allergenic. And once you get a nickel allergy, your life is over.
Yeah,
you can never touch a nickel again.
Today's nickels, I don't believe have any nickel in them.
Without a nickel, that's right. They're now zinc. So go ahead, touch a nickel. But if you found an old like a buffalo head nickel, don't touch that.
Drop like a rock.
Apparently, there's a nickel allergy, and something like 12 or 14% of all the people who were wearing it, the force, were getting rashes.
It's curious that the number would be that high, so it means that people with some sort of nickel weirdness
were
attracted to this thing.
Yeah. It's common.
That are going to make the next one out of peanuts.
It's a common.
And gluten, don't forget our gluten.
Well, you know what's weird is they've recalled them all. It's a voluntary recall, so if you don't have a rash, I guess you can keep it. But they've recalled them all, and they will send you a check in about 8 weeks for the value of the force. They're not going to give you a new force.
I'm guessing that if you send them a nasty note saying, I sent my thing in, where's my money, and kept the watch, you would get a check.
Go ahead and try that.
I don't care. Not really interested.
This is a category that seems to have problems. Remember Jawbones Up, which failed, and they had to recall all of them, and... This is a tough category
are all companies that are relatively new. I mean, this is such a new product category. These are companies that are trying to figure it out. Fitbit didn't exist a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Pebble started out as a Kickstarter project.
Right.
And now they're actually making a watch that looks like a watch. It has a metal band. It's kind of stepping it up a little bit.
And there were glitches in those first Kickstarter products that they sent. My brother's flashes every second and dies after a few hours.
Mine's in a drawer, so I don't know what it's doing right now. It's lonely. It's wishing it would be resuscitated. You know, I think a lot of this is the market just saying, quick, get to market before Apple does it.
I think this is the one product category where Samsung is racing, and that's why five months after they introduced the first one, they introduced another one. They need... to make this work before Apple comes in and acts like they invented the idea.
It could be a bluff. Maybe Apple never does this. They look around and say, this is crap. You know, Ford pulled this stunt once. You know, when they were making the bigger and bigger...
I remember the Model T. That was a great car.
No, remember when they were making bigger and bigger? First it was the Explorer, then they made a bigger one.
Yeah. The Excursion.
The Excursion. And then they showed on all... You saw it on all of a six-door. This huge six-door Ford. Just to screw with GM.
They did it
They never released it.
It's just an artist's conception.
So I think this may be going on.
Maybe
it's a great gag, by the way.
Screwing with Apple, or is Apple screwing with them?
I mean, we know for sure that Apple is working on it. They work on a lot of things, so it's entirely possible that they throw this out.
Well, Ford showed a six-door, and they never brought it out.
No, I think Apple's going to do it. They've hired too many people to it would be a and I think the perception of Apple being a failure if they don't release it is a significant issue. So they've got to release it.
And Tim Cook has said they will introduce a new product category this year. So it could be a watch, it could be a TV, but
I think if it's a watch, I'm short in the company.
Yeah, just to another Apple story real quick. If you have iOS 7, you do want to patch it right now. There is a 7.0.6 update that went out yesterday, an emergency update because of a bug in SSL, making a man-in-the-middle attack fairly easy. That means that somebody could hijack your SSL connection to a bank, to Amazon, to
NSA,
online retailer, get your credit cards, and other stuff. It apparently is a flaw both in iOS and in OS X. Apple says we're going to release an update for OS X as soon as we can, but nothing, at least as we go to press. Do we go to press? As we go to
air?
The internet?
The internet.
They said go to press?
Somebody's. He did.
Remember in the days when you were a young cub reporter for the
I was
Daily
a cub
Planet?
Reporter.
And
when I was a kid, I was a cub.
Wearing his glasses.
I had the thing. I also had a
Jimmy
Dvorak. Visor.
Superman's pal, Jimmy Dvorak.
Copy, yo, copy.
Copy! Remember that, those days?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. What else is coming out? Anyway, update it, because this is not an insignificant problem. And I don't know what you do if you're on iOS 6. I guess they'll update that as well. More Mobile World Congress stuff. Just a program note, we will be here tonight, 11:30 p.m. Pacific. That's 2:30 a.m. Eastern time. 8:30 UTC to cover what could be a very bizarre announcement for Nokia. Nokia, which is in the process of being acquired by Microsoft, we're just waiting for Chinese regulatory approval, said to be announcing an Android
phone.
What's
the Chinese got to do with it? Why do the Chinese need to tell our American companies what to do?
Well, Nokia is Finnish. But
yeah, they're not.
Well, I know, but Microsoft, so
they
it's
do
obviously
business
aimed at
in
them.
China. I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I've asked the same question. In my
the
mind,
EU
I didn't
used
say
to
it out
pull
loud.
This crap constantly.
Well, they got EU approval.
Well, yeah, I know. Nowadays, they don't buck so much, but they used to. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. It's two American companies trying to merge.
They're two massive global companies that sell all over the world. They have implications for those markets as well. I think the regulatory approval is for that. If you're going to do business here, you got to meet our laws as well.
And
I think
China is a very important market for Nokia.
As far as I'm concerned, they're just pushing us around, telling us what to do. It's an abomination.
You ought to write to Congress. Call our trade representatives. Anyway, we'll be here late at night tonight.
And by the way, what difference does it make to China one way or the other?
Well, maybe their government buys Nokia phones.
No, I'll tell you what it is. It's Huawei.
From Nokia.
They're protecting ZTE and Huawei.
Yeah.
Damn.
Which do compete with Nokia.
And they pushed Cisco
and
around since Huawei and ZTE got beat up in the U.S.
Anyway, this is my thoughts.
So we'll be here at 11:30 p.m. Pacific, 2:30 a.m. Eastern time tonight. Mike Elgin and I will cover the Nokia X phone announcement. We do believe it'll be an Android phone. I think Mobile World Congress is rapidly becoming the most interesting event of the year because mobile and wearables are the hot thing, right?
And they got the best food.
Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
You can get your paella. Ratatouille and your paella.
I don't know about the ratatouille, but there's a lot of good
paella.
Food.
Paella. You're missing Barcelonan that. Paella is different than the paella in other parts of Spain.
Yeah, Spain's not really one country.
It's a Catalan paella.
Okay, that put a damper on things.
You know, did I mention we'd be here at 11:30 tonight?
You know, you've been complaining about this since this morning.
And then tomorrow, the big Samsung Unpacked event, that'll be at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1900 UTC. We will be here for that as well.
Likely to be the
S5.
Galaxy S5.
What do we know? What do we think? What do we expect? I don't know.
Hopefully a phone made with higher quality materials.
It's going to be a phone with
better materials.
Well, that's
one of the things. Samsung stuff is
that's
slimy plastic, as Engadget said.
Not a good look.
Not
that plastic.
A good look.
No, yeah.
Although my Note 3 has that nice plastic stitched leather look.
Do you like that?
No.
And you have a Note 3? Seriously?
Do.
Do you use that as like a tanning bed every once in a while? That thing
you know,
is gigantic.
Hello, Mom.
I keep up on Samsung because they are, in fact, 80% of the smartphone, Android smartphone market. They are the dominant player.
Yep.
But I got to say, I abandoned my Galaxy S4 and even more so the Note 3 because of the crapware.
What happened to your Motorola you were so happy with?
Oh, I still use my Moto X.
Moto
that's
X.
What you use. That's what you use.
It's got
wood. Ooh, you got the wood one.
Yeah.
So it's AT&T only then, right?
No, not anymore. The Moto Maker is everywhere.
You have this thing monogrammed. It says Chief Twit printed on the back.
C'est moi. I wish they'd done it with like one of those wood-burning kits, you know, that they used to get in camp.
That would have been, I can do that.
Can you do that?
I have one of those.
You have one of those?
Things.
Yeah, burn it, I'll burn do that it in, would you?
I'll just take this with me.
Huh? Or a soldering iron.
Soldering iron. Iron
yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what we know about the Galaxy S5.
Thank you for taking us back on track.
Larger 5.2-inch screen, sharper display.
Whoa. Ooh, 5.2? The S4
holy
is 5.
Mackerel.
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Just keeps
it's
getting bigger.
Pretty soon
bigger
they're going to be
better.
Tablets.
Told you I had wood.
Just because.
Yeah, so this is what our reporter in Seoul and our reporter in Paris
One thing
up with.
I think we know. You have a reporter in Paris. That's the gig you want.
Tech reporter in Paris.
Man.
It'd be pretty nice. And very expensive.
Just eating baguettes, drinking coffee.
Croissant.
Croissant. Brioche.
Improved battery, improved camera.
Improved. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Better.
Oh, okay. Didn't quite get that.
We couldn't learn exactly how improved those two were, but
you know what I
bet? Samsung may start selling the phone for less than previous models.
Does that mean unlocked off contract?
May drop the price a little bit off contract.
You know, they've been able to get the Moto X down to like $300 off contract. I think there really is pressure to get the off contract prices lower because you can't grow the market if the off contract price is $700.
That's really only a play for Europe and Asia. In the US, you almost have to maintain the price point because the iPhone is seen as like the phone, $200.
Well, we also have subsidies. $200. We have subsidies, right?
But the carriers may be more likely to push the Samsung if they can make a little higher margins on that phone.
Right. But they're not going to charge us any less when we go and sign a new 2-year contract.
Probably true.
All likelihood.
I'll be looking for tomorrow with interest is the crapware issue, because I really do feel like Samsung's gone too. It was pretty clear that Samsung wanted to distance itself from Google and Android. But Tizen is one thing they're doing. They had a developer conference last month. I think they really want to get to the point where they don't have to say we're a Google phone.
Well,
they're already
at that point.
They're very close. And TouchWidge customizes it heavily. They've got apps in most cases that replace the Google equivalents that are Samsung apps, not Google apps. They don't have the Google services yet. That's a big issue. Things like location services, which you get from Google, search, which you get from Google. But I really feel like Samsung has been moving away from Google. I also feel like that's why Google got rid of Motorola, because they really use that as a lever, I think, with Samsung. Remember, the South Korean government passed a law saying that crapware has to be uninstallable. Samsung's made an agreement right at the same time as the Motorola mobility sale was announced to Lenovo. Samsung announced, okay, we've made a deal with Google. We're going to make a purer Google phone. So I'll watch with interest to see this S5. Is it a purer Google phone, or is Samsung continuing to push away? I think this Galaxy Gear story might be an indicator that they're going to continue to push away from Android.
Well, they've made it very clear that Tizen is where they see their software future. They're not necessarily going away from Android, they say, but they are trying to build up Tizen as a, you know, punch-for-punch counterpart, something that you can choose and will offer you the same experience.
Is that intended just for developing nations, or do you think that that's...
I think it's intended for everything. I mean, Tizen's had a lot of setbacks. We've actually been covering this a lot at the Wall Street Journal. There have a lot of carriers that have kind of backed out of supporting Tizen phone so far. Right now, they are kind of on...
It's a Samsung product.
It is a fully Samsung product.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because really software has been kind of a weak point for Samsung. I mean, yeah, there's TouchWiz, but a lot of folks aren't using these alternative apps that Samsung's preloading.
This is horrible.
Like you said, this is one of the reasons why you're kind of neglecting those phones for Motorola,
I use a Motorola
because
it's as close to a pure Google experience you can get.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, there's really kind of becoming a growing battle between Samsung. They've leveraged Android to get a foothold in the market. Now they're going to try and take that next step and say, okay, we're our own thing. We have our own software. We're still going to use Android here if people want that. Give them the choice. And that's the thing is Samsung can deliver a new phone, tablet, phablet, smartwatch, anything they want.
But how long have they been saying that a Tizen phone is going to come out? I mean, they've delayed this
project. I've heard they're having trouble with it.
They're having a ton of trouble with it.
I think
they're
one of the...
A ton of trouble
what kind of trouble?
A lot of different carriers in...
Besides the carriers, is there technical issues with it?
There have been product delays. There have been technical issues as well. They've also had a hard time attracting third-party developers.
I think that's the big one.
You don't have an app store.
How do you start with a smartphone platform now? I mean, look at Microsoft started 2 or 3 years ago and get developers excited enough to build apps for it.
Well, I mean, that might be if Nokia, as the rumors say, if they're building an Android phone, why else would you do that if not because people want Android apps? They want Android.
Why?
I mean, this is why Amazon's using Android on their Kindle.
Why can't they make an Android-compatible phone? So in other words, you have the Tizen OS and it's compatible with Android apps and they're both problem solved. Is there a... And since it's supposed to be all open source and everything, and I'm sure the developers, if I'm a developer, I don't care if it goes on the Tizen phone. Why don't they go in that route? Maybe...
While Android is open source, there's very specific guidelines that Google sets for operators on or for phone makers on how they can design the software. So you can do whatever you want with Android, as Amazon has shown and Xiaomi has shown, but then you can't put the Google apps on it, and you can't put Google's App Store where all the apps are. That's the big one. And
according to AppBrain, there are 1,132,053 Android apps right now. Now, I should also point out that only 22% of them are any good.
I would say less than that.
Actually, they do a graph.
I'd say only about 22.
They do a graph where all apps, that's the red line, and you see it's jumped significantly in the last couple of months. Regular apps, that's the blue line. Low quality apps is the green line. I don't know what low quality apps are, but look at the number of new apps added. I mean, it
probably
is
like the flashlight would be called that.
Stunning number. The new decent quality apps, we're talking over 100,000 added in December in a month.
It's a lot.
So if you're somebody looking for a phone, I think that's something you consider. It's one of the reasons.
How do you find a good app? You need to do it more app reviews.
We already have an app show for the iPhone, i5 for the iPhone. We have a very good Android show all about Android, which has the App Arena, which is fabulous, where each of the hosts suggest an app, and then they fight it out, and whoever has the most physical strength wins.
That sounds like a winner.
But that also sounds like a good TV show.
Jason really
wants to launch a new Android app show, so I think we will do that, because you're absolutely right. Discovery is tough when you have a million-plus apps.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Well, there's that, and there's also the issue of Android runs on so many different things.
Right.
And there's so many different screen sizes and processors and options as to what the hardware can be. So you can't really have a consistent user experience when you have inconsistent hardware, which, I mean, like the Gear has a 2-inch screen and 1.5-inch screen, something like that. And then the
Angry Birds Impossible.
And then you have the Note. How big is your Note 3 screen? How big
is it? It's 5.7, I think.
But so, not to mention there's a 12-inch Galaxy Note Tab Pro Extra 13 something supersize. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation.
Bigger is better.
Seems like another reason not to be in Facebook.
We have more from Barcelona coming up and a lot more too. Speaking of all about Android, if you missed this week at Twit, boy, fortunately, we have a little minute-long piece that will give you some of
I think this is a house ad, John. What do you think?
It sounds
like
it.
Not you, 2 million!
I think so.
Let's see what you missed this week on Twit.
Previously on Twit, Tech News Tonight.
Facebook has announced it's buying a messaging app, WhatsApp, for $12 billion in stock, $4 billion in cash.
WhatsApp dominates around the rest of the world, is super popular. I mean, they were going to put as much money as they could possibly get behind the largest messaging service in the world.
Security Now.
Remotely control Waymo home automation attached devices over the internet. And this is Waymo access than you intend to give to your household appliances.
MacBreak Weekly.
I think we should just sit back and enjoy these pictures of David and his Mac Pro. He's having my baby.
I can never unsee that.
Twit. Kid tested, mother approved.
And we have a big week ahead. Mike Elgin in our news department has the look at the week ahead, Mike.
Coming up this week, wall-to-wall Mobile World Congress coverage, starting with the Nokia event tonight at 11:30 p.m. Pacific. We're also covering Samsung's big Unpacked 5 event tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Pacific. And in fact, tune in all week for our extensive Mobile World Congress coverage. Back to you, Leo.
Thank you, Mike Elgin, news director here and host of TNT every morning, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. We also have tech news tonight. You know, we have a night news show now with Sarah Lane as our anchor, and that's at 4 p.m.
So you can't get you falling behind in advertising? You have to run house ads? You know, that's, you always count house ads on NBC.
No, we still have plenty of ads, because here comes one right now. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for reminding me, John.
You're welcome.
No, you know, I don't want to do house ads. It's not like we have an avail, but I feel that if I don't let people know all the great stuff, they just won't realize how rich and full the experience here at Twit could be.
Do when you run the house ads on the other shows, because you run house ads apparently just all the time.
No, I actually don't.
This is the only time you run house ads?
Yeah.
So you never promote this particular show that we're on as we speak?
I don't need to. This show is by far our largest show. Everyone in the world knows
and so you just,
about Twit.
So now it's essentially the cash cow, which you just said.
It's a
cash cow, and you are just letting the cash cow die.
What?
You're not promoting it.
All right, let's get right on that. Actually, you know, Lisa wants to buy billboard ads in Silicon Valley. You think that's a good idea?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She wants to buy television ads around the country. You think that's
television
a good idea?
Ads is a little less important, yeah. I think. I think billboard ads is a good deal.
And then we're going to get a bus
wrapper. Depends on what your CPM is on the billboard.
We're going to get a bus wrapper on the 15 mission. I think that's going to be big for us.
Or the Google bus. Or anywhere
on
the Google
bus
runs.
Would be great. That's
but
a great idea.
They won't let you do that.
The problem is the people we want to know about the show are in the bus. They don't see what the outside is. Problem.
Yeah.
You just want to know. They see what the outside is because they're standing in line waiting for this idiotic bus to come by.
You get a picket line there with Twit.
With, right.
TV
Stop
signs.
Twit. That's marketing.
That's
what I want. I Twit is it's gentrifying Petaluma, ruining the rent here in Petaluma. It's gone through the roof, and I blame Twit. That's a great idea. We're going to have protesters outside these windows for every show from now on. Our show today brought to you by Citrix. We love these guys, and their GoToMeeting is absolutely the best way to hold meetings. Who likes meetings? And yet, without them, I think a lot of stuff doesn't get done. Sometimes those email exchanges go on for hours. Lisa's got a great thing. She says, after three emails, we're having a meeting. We got to have a meeting because you can cut through the garbage and get to the solution. It's also great for brainstorming. Meeting and collaborating with coworkers and clients, developing quality ideas and solutions. We had a great creative meeting the other day, and you know what we use? GoToMeeting. Those HD Faces cameras mean I can see people all over the country, all over the world. And of course, we share the screen so we can see the presentations, the collaborate on the documents. GoToMeeting is phenomenal, and I want you to try it. It works Mac, PC, and mobile device. In fact, pretty much everything you've got. You can even present from an iPad. You can share the same screen. You can see each other face-to-face. You can use the audio on the iPad or the computer or the device so that you don't have to get a conference bridge. The audio is part of the GoToMeeting software. I just think it's great, as well as video. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use our promo code TWIT. You got 30 days waiting for you. Absolutely free. GoToMeeting.com. Promo code TWIT. Speaking of smartwatches, you know, we keep hearing a rumor that Google's going to do it. They patented stuff. According to this story also in...
From the Wall Street Journal.
Great publication.
And you're still friends with him? You know, Bloomberg's good too.
The friendship is strained.
Bloomberg is good too. There may be an Android-powered smartwatch by Google made by LG.
Which is what they did with the Nexus 4 and 5 smartphones.
Right.
So they know each other well, LG and Google. They seem to work well with each other. What we're seeing and what some of our sources are telling our reporters that they're in Barcelona is that this will integrate really nicely with Google Now, which if you guys have an Android smartphone, sends you kind of information before
that.
You go looking for
yes.
it. Yeah, so you check in, my flight reservation's coming up, there's a Google Now card. The weather's there. Tells me what games are coming up for my favorite sports teams, all sorts of really fantastic stuff. So imagine that on your smartwatch. It could potentially be pretty cool.
It seems to me Google's got the inside track because of Google Now. That makes it more valuable than just something that's going to give me notifications.
Something Pebble doesn't have. It's something Gear doesn't have. It's really no one else can really match.
According to your story, won't be announced at Mobile World Congress. Will probably be announced at Google I.O., which is this year in June. They moved it back to June.
That would make sense if it's a Google device, Google-branded device.
Yeah. And I.O. has been so popular because they give away crap.
Yes, lots of
It's the
of
Oprah
stuff.
Thing, you know. Yeah. You know, look under your seat.
This week, this year's a car.
I don't think they're going to do
a
it
A driverless
anymore.
Car. No, everyone gets one.
A driverless car?
Everyone gets one.
Just waiting for you outside?
Yeah.
I bet you you'll get
one
a watch.
One after another.
Are you talking about a Hot Wheels? Or are you talking about like something I can actually
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be driving it. It's going to be driverless.
Hot Wheel.
There you go.
But I, you know, this year they're having a lottery to get into Google I.O. It's so jammed.
Yep.
You have to send them an application, then they're going to have a random draw.
I don't know why they don't just get their act together.
What do you mean?
Well, there's other ways. I mean, people need to go to this because they're developing stuff or they need to cover
it. The problem is the people like us who fill it up because we're just press and there's no room.
There's also they should just stop giving stuff away and
that's
make it for what it's for.
You're right.
Well, they do stream over, you know, the web, so you can watch it. You can still get a lot of valuable information.
Yes, but it's still a networking thing. You have to be there to yak with somebody.
Really a fantastic
Oh, hey, Bill, I haven't seen you for a while. Hey, let's have lunch. Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
That's the end of it. But at least you said
it. Doesn't sound that valuable.
Well, it's kind of valuable because you get the ticket off. Oh, yeah, okay, I asked him for lunch.
Talk to Bill.
Guy never showed up.
Is this one of them Google April Fool's jokes, or is this real? Project Tango.
It is real. It is very, very real.
The idea is that, remember, Google sold Motorola Mobility but kept the R&D division.
Yep.
And this was apparently something they were working on. The Project Tango is a device that has a Kinect-like camera built into it. The prototype is a 5-inch phone. Software designed to track the motion of the device while simultaneously creating a map of the environment. 250,000 3D measurements every second. Updating position and orientation in real time. Build a 3D model of the world around you with your phone. They say, imagine. John, I'd like you to imagine this. Playing hide and seek in your house with Super Mario.
Weren't we talking about something like this about 6 months ago when Google was trying to collect photos? Do you remember this?
Are you talking about Photosphere where you can take a photo of like your environment?
And we were deciding, that or something. Leo and I were discussing it, and I was complaining that was just a cheap way for Google to get a bunch of pictures for their Google.
No.
Yes, don't you remember this discussion?
You know what this reminds me a lot, though, of is Jeri Ellsworth and her Cast AR glasses, which did almost the same thing. They would project a game space into your real-world environment. This is actually even more sophisticated.
Yeah, this is what we were talking about.
Yeah. Well, you can look at the screen and see the augmented. It's augmented reality.
There's a level of that. There's also outside of gaming. I mean, you know, say that you're visually impaired and this phone has a 3D model of your house and you're walking around. It could tell you, you know, hey, make a left here, make a right there. Yeah. There's going to be a doorknob here.
Not just your house, but the world around you.
Well, yeah.
Go to JCPenney's. It could walk you through it.
Maybe you go to public space you've never been to before, but they already have an indoor map. And they've actually been working really hard to get indoor mapping off the ground. Photosphere is a part of getting the public to contribute
to that. So John was right in a way. They do want to collect these
images. They want to map the entire world inside and out. There's even a program that they have to map the inside of businesses. When I used to work at Wired, we got them to come in and map the inside of our office.
This place is mapped, right?
We did that too. Yeah.
They had a guy here.
Maps.google.com, right?
So this could be a way to get more of that sort of mapping data all of the time from your phone, which you're carrying with you all the time anyway.
They're crazy about this.
So you can actually...
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't want Google to map every inch of my house.
but continually, all day, all of the time.
This way, when you lose the cat, you just say, okay, Google, now, where's
the cat? Wow.
Where is my cat?
That's how they're listening in.
Always on, always listening.
Horrible.
And that's what Kinect does, too. It's always on, always listening.
I think it's awesome.
Oh, well, let me see.
It was useless.
Can you think of any government agencies that might be interested in, like, always-on, always-listening cameras?
It gave me 10 sounds that cats make.
Oh, it found your cat.
It says 10 sounds that cats make. So there you go.
Oh, it's very valuable.
Yeah, that'd be useful. Here's my office. I don't have as many as hats in this
picture. The game was called
Ingress. Is that a Santa Claus hat?
Oh, yeah. I got all kinds of hats. Yeah. And I think I'm sitting at my desk during this process.
I think people out there are bored ever and they want to like just think. I'll get a bottle of wine. You like to drink wine? This wine is really good. Yeah. I think I'll take a drive past the winery and see what the environs look like.
click and drag.
Google, get on Street View, and drive around Bordeaux.
It's a sphere.
It's actually quite fun. It's very entertaining. Cool?
Now, wouldn't you like to apply that to driving through other people's houses and looking around?
Now, click and drag.
It depends on the house.
Like you would.
Oh, I can drag.
Your house? No.
Oh, there I am. Look, I have no face.
Yeah, they blur out your face.
But God, my dog has a face. What about Ozzy's privacy? I ask you.
Anyway, you could do that yourself. Go to maps.google.com and search for Twit, and you can walk through.
That's what Wired did, probably.
So there's going to be 200 prototype phones that are sent out of these Project Tango phones.
This is what they did with Google Glass, isn't it? Where they had a Google Glass Explorers. They sent out more than that.
Yep.
But this seems to be a good model for Google to... hey, there's no food in the kitchen. I wish this were real time. Can we make this real time?
That's the future. That's a
Project
one of these
Tango.
Days. One of these days.
I remember. Yeah, I was watching. Remember the Boston bomber, and he was in the boat, and they had Google satellite maps of the boat. And Jennifer said, "Why can't I see the bomber in there?" And I said, "Well, it's because they took those pictures away."
Well, supposedly in Google Earth, the stars and the sun and all that stuff, that's in real time.
Really?
So you can watch an eclipse in real time on Google Earth taking place.
It's rendered, though. It's not live.
It's not real.
Right?
Close to Google is expanding.
Who cares? What difference does it make?
It's good enough. It looks real.
Looks good. Looks real.
Hey, you know, Toy Story's not a real movie. So,
well, what do you mean it's not
those
a real
aren't
movie?
Real toys
I saw it
talking.
In theaters. I have it on Blu-ray. How is this not a real movie? Tell me more.
Woody is not really a cowboy.
Agree to disagree on that.
Google Fiber is picking 9 new metro areas. If you didn't get Google Fiber,
this is
the
exciting.
First round, if you weren't in Austin or Kansas City or Provo, Utah. You can be, maybe your chance has come.
Or Phoenix, Arizona.
Does Phoenix have Google Fiber?
No, but this is one of the handful that are...
Yeah, why don't they do Berkeley? Or maybe
or
someplace in the Bay Area.
They're talking about San Jose.
San Jose is one of
them. I don't live in San Jose.
You mean, why don't they do my house, is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No one knows.
Well, I know.
It would help my business if we had Google Fiber here. By the way, Milo Medin, who's doing this, we got to get Milo on. He is great. Remember Milo?
Yeah, when does Milo get out of the office? You know, he's working for Google. The guy,
he was Comcast at home, the network engineer.
He used to answer your email.
I know.
But now he's too busy.
Yeah, well, he's Milo Medin. He's VP Google Access Services.
Yeah, so he's just...
So you've tried to get a hold of
him. Well, I got a hold of him like a year ago, and then ever since then, he's too busy.
So are we going to see...
the guy's worth millions of dollars. He doesn't need to be this busy.
Are we going to see the sort of stunts that we saw the first go-around on the cities battling it out? And didn't one of them change their name to Google Kansas?
Yes.
They suggested it.
I think that they've said we're particularly looking at cities that we already know the city government's very interested. These may be like the second round candidates from
These are also major metropolitan areas. Like, they're... Is no like significant mass of people here. I mean, Atlanta, Phoenix, San Antonio, like these are decent sized cities with a lot of folks.
And tech areas.
Somebody in the chat room asked what speed. We're talking about a gigabyte.
A gigabit.
To the home. All cable,
symmetric,
fiber.
Two ways.
Yeah, 2-way gigabit.
Although they are working on 10 gigabit as well. So you're a new installation, you could get 10
expensive
gigabits.
Router for that.
What would you need? What would you do that with that? 10 gigabit.
All kinds of Netflix.
You go down
4K all day.
Netflix.
4K all day.
I start collecting movies.
Imagine the 4K Snapchats you could send with that.
I can't. I can't really imagine that.
4K Snapchats. That's an intriguing idea.
Yeah, 4K video would be great.
We could play some Halo online.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of Wired, I didn't see this, but the Wired Threat Level blog explained where this security bug in the iPhone came from.
Yeah, Kevin Polson.
Kevin's great.
He knows his stuff.
I've known Kevin since the good bad old days. But he says it was a single go-to in the code that was wrong.
Yeah, no, it wasn't wrong. The NSA put it in there. It was right after Apple signed up. You look at that Prism chart, that same where you see Apple on that thing, that's when this go-to showed up.
Okay, so if this is an NSA planted, you know, exploit, as you're alleging, I guess, or
yeah,
whatever.
I'm alleging.
Then
exactly.
Then why are they fixing it? Then why?
Well,
the NSA
somebody found it and said, "Hey, oh God, we got to fix it." They'll put it back in.
Somewhere else.
Just to go to. You know, you move it over here. Just it's essentially
bypass. What is interesting is this source code is published.
It is.
I don't know if that's because it's part of Darwin and it's part of their open source or for whatever reason, but they did publish the source code, which means, unfortunately, that somebody could come along like Adam Langley, who works at Google, and say, you know, this if error statement, it goes. There's two go to fail lines in here.
Yeah.
So what happens is this is the kind of thing. If you were in the NSA, is exactly how you would modify this code.
Oh yeah, it's easy.
So the reason is that it never gets to this third condition.
It can't.
Because it goes to fail each, you know, immediately.
Yeah.
So it's a typo, or it's the kind of thing, if you really wanted to hack the code, you might just add it.
It was interesting though, in that story, Langley defends Apple and says, "Well, this is probably just a mistake, and I feel really bad if I was that guy," or something kind of like that. I thought it was kind of interesting that Google was almost like sticking up for Apple a little bit here.
Yeah. I mean, well, if you're a programmer, you look at that and you go, oh, crap.
Well, go to it again
for the grace of God, go I. There is now a hashtag go to fail.
There is.
If you want to, if you know, you got a little spare time, you want to browse through Twitter and you'll see a few go to fail. Our Nancy Grace moment.
Mandatory. I will throw out there a quote that that Apple gave me about a year ago for a story I did on SE Android, which is an NSA project that Google incorporated into the mainline Android code. Apple said, "Apple does not accept source code from any government agencies for any of our operating systems or other products."
You don't need much of a source code. You don't get any. You just put a go-to in there and you're done.
I just should point out there is a site you could try, this gotofail.com, where we'll test to see if this is a check to see if the certificate is valid.
Yep.
You could provide, as a man in the middle, an invalid certificate and still set up an SSL conversation. That's how you would attack it. I am using Safari on the latest version of Mavericks, and as you can see, your browser is vulnerable. This is gotofail.com. Patch as soon as possible. There is no patch yet out.
Working on it. Right?
Any minute.
It's not as though anything you're doing is
nefarious.
Nefarious.
Yeah. Anyway.
They're just figuring out where you are at any given time, just in case Paulson. They have to.
Love him. Windows 8 designer explains why Windows 8 is so bad. Are you curious?
I am.
I guess it's a way of paraphrasing what he said.
This is of Jacob Miller, who's a UX designer for Microsoft, on a Reddit conversation. He says, "Metro was created for casual users first and foremost. Our hands were bound."
Why?
He says. Well,
who
maybe
bound
it's
them?
A sex thing. And our users were... He compares Windows 8 to a rented tuxedo coat. Okay, now bear with me here. Designed to fit a variety of people, but not tailored to any one specific customer.
Ill-fitting is the word.
Ill-fitting. Features added to Windows had to be simple enough for casual users, because that's what they're trying to do, is attract casual. I don't know why.
Why? There's none left.
Right. But can't turn off power users. As a result, many features were cut on the first go-round, and that, according to Miller, led to Windows 8's split personality. Our hands were tied. Our users were annoyed with their Reddit jackets. So what did we do? We separated the users into two groups. Casual, you could wear maybe a turtleneck, and power.
So, which is Metro and desktop.
Yeah.
Right?
So we made two separate playgrounds.
Why did
it
boot to, well, yeah.
All the casual users would have their own new and shiny place to look at pictures of cats. Metro. This is him. The power users would then have free reign of their native domain, the desktop. Why was Metro the default? Because casual users are very inquisitive. So if we didn't make it front and center, they'd never find it. So
which
we
is why classic shell so great, by the way.
By the way, this is why Windows 8 is so bad.
Yeah.
Now that the casual users are aware of their new pasture, says Miller, we could start tailoring.
Oh, please. What is this? Our hands were bound. Name names.
Well, I mean, just look at the company. Look at the way it's structured. The whole One Microsoft movement that was really put in place by Steve Ballmer. The whole entire push from Microsoft saying Windows, one operating system on both your desktop, your laptop, and your mobile devices, your tablets. I mean, the entire company bought into this. Anyone who was involved with actually making decisions there, Ballmer all the way down, these are the guys making that push. And that's a really different kind of philosophical difference on how to view computing. I mean, Apple says you have a desktop operating system, then you have a mobile one for your phone or your tablet. Windows is saying you have one operating system for your tablet and your
one operating system,
a single user experience is what they were working on, and it's idiotic. Is that, do they think people are so stupid that they can't have a phone with that that acts a little differently than their desktop, so everything has to look exactly the same? Oh, look, my desktop is exactly like my phone. That's great.
Yeah, but it's kind of confusing like because it doesn't run the same software.
No,
so you've got,
right, exactly.
But it looks the same, behaves the same.
So it's Microsoft confirmed this guy does work for them. They wouldn't say what he does. There's some speculation. Maybe he was just a nobody hoo-ha. No, except... what he says is exactly right. Makes perfect sense. That's what you got, and that's exactly why you got it. So whether he's a hoo-ha or not.
I mean, if he's not a UX designer and he purports to be one on Reddit, I wonder how long he'd remain a Microsoft employee.
You got to wonder. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, our show today brought to you by Gazelle. You got old gadgets. Maybe you've got an old Windows phone you'd like to unload.
Gear 1.
Huh?
A Gear 1?
You got a Galaxy Gear 1? I don't know if they... Let me look. They should buy the Gear 1s. That would be great. I don't think they do. They pretty much focus on phones, iPods, tablets. They'll buy anything made by Apple because they've got a great resale value.
Even a Newton?
No. Anything recently.
Oh, okay.
They do buy BlackBerries, HTCs, LG phones. You can sell your Motorola, your Nokia. Yes, you can sell your Samsung phone. And they pay good money. They even buy broken iPhones. What's great about Gazelle is how easy they make it. When you go to Gazelle, get a quote. Give them all your stuff. Find that gadget drawer that's filled with garbage, old gadgets you don't use anymore. Get it all. The quote's good for 30 days. So if you, you know, this would be a good time right before Mobile World Congress to spend some time gazelling stuff. Get those quotes. You're locked in. If you see something at Mobile World Congress you know you're going to want to buy, you could take advantage of it. If not, no loss. You didn't have to. The 5C, I hear Apple's discontinuing the color 5C. Maybe I actually have, let's see, is 200, what? That's a great deal. Unlock $255, and they even give you instructions on how to unlock your iPhone 5C. Now, once you get it all together, you pull the trigger if you decide this is it. They will send you a box prepaid mailer, so you don't ever pay for the shipping on anything worth anything more than a buck. And then, as soon as the gadget comes to their offices, they check it. If you leave data on it, they will remove it. They will upgrade your offer if it's in better condition than you said. And then they'll send you a check. Or, if you're in a hurry, get a PayPal credit. Or, if you buy a lot at Amazon, my suggestion is get the Amazon gift card because they bump that value up 5%. So, risk-free. Offer is good for 30 days. It's trustworthy. They've paid out now more than $100 million to over 700,000 customers, and it's easy. Free shipping, fast processing, great value for your used gadgets. Gazelle.com. Take advantage of it right now. Gazelle.com, right before Mobile World Congress. That's the time to get those quotes. The new malware is called the Moon. This is a nasty bit of malware. We talked about it on Security Now this week. It would allow a hacker to gain control of your computer, your network, remotely. Linksys said, oh, it only affects a few of our routers. However, it turns out it affects pretty much every Linksys router. Belkin now owns Linksys, and they confirmed the exploit. You should turn off remote management access. That is turned off by default. You should always turn that off on every router unless you want to manage your router from the office or something. I can't think of why you'd want that. But this is a fairly serious defect. Once again, you know, routers are full of bugs. And because it's firmware, it's not they're not patched very often. Not like,
you know, the untold story systems. That was never really written up by anybody because it happened with me and my Sonic.net connection is the pace. And it turns out, you know, that exploit that this French guy wrote about DSL modems being hackable.
Yeah.
They were all hacked, almost all of them in the country, and many of the DSL connections. And it didn't show up necessarily, so it was obvious. But when we tried to use it for the podcast, we were just having all kinds of problems with...
Because your router had been hacked.
The routers have all been hacked, yeah, and most of them.
And hacked to what end? Did it give them access to your network?
No, actually, they could access the network and spam without the computer through the router.
They were using the router to forward spam?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
And so most of the DSL routers were compromised, and as far as I could tell, it took them over a week to get the Pace modems back online working right. They gave me a special IP address so I could avoid the whole thing. But these sorts of things are just going on constantly. Wow. In these routers. And I think it's just all – I think routers are just carelessly –
poorly written.
I think so, yeah.
And we've seen a lot of malware of late. And one of the things that's happening is because – Microsoft has done a pretty good job of patching Windows. It's no longer the you know automatic updates. It's no longer that people have gotten more aware, no longer the vector it used to be. Mm-hmm. So malware authors are looking at other avenues. They're infecting third-party software like Flash and Java. And they're looking at things like routers. And, you know, there's no
easy
software.
Pickings.
There's no software written. It's not got some flaws in it, right?
Yeah.
A couple of go-to fails. It's just what happens. If you're using a router, you should certainly update the firmware. I would say if you're using a router, buy a router that is compatible with DDWRT and install it because it's an open source firmware that is has always been much more reliable, much better, hasn't had the problems that the commercial router firmware has. Mark Millian, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Bloomberg Business Week, you're covering the global environment, the global world.
Say it right. Say it right.
Bloomberg.com/globaltech.
Bloomberg.com/Moomin.
You know how to get there. Just
can you say WSJD like that?
I just kind of WSJD. I certainly can. And I want to thank Nathan Oliveris for being here.
It's my pleasure.
Congratulations on the new gig. Wall Street Journal is doing a great job.
Thanks.
It's good you got rid of that stuffy old guy with a goatee. He was boring. But no, really, the WSJ, go to WSJD.com and great tech coverage. Much better than the Yahoo tech page that Pogue's doing. I mean, really.
Is there any tech on that page?
I can't figure it out. I like David. He's a friend, but boy. They're trying to be – they're aiming at –
yeah, people who don't care about
people
tech.
People who don't care about tech, which is the mistake every – Tech TV started doing that.
Yeah.
We interviewed Kenny Rogers. What's on your iPad, Kenny?
Yeah, it's bad.
It's not good.
People aren't interested about tech. They're not going to read a tech page no matter what you do.
I agree. But see, this is what I like about WSJD, besides the fact that it's harder to say than a radio station. it's unabashedly geeky.
We have a good mix of some consumer-friendly stuff, some business analysis, breaking news, features.
What happened, by the way? WhatsApp was out for almost 4 hours yesterday.
Something like that.
Was it a DDoS?
I don't think it's really quite clear.
I was a DDoS. Don't you think? Some snotty script kiddie.
Hopefully Facebook's going to help them out with that. I mean, you know, $19 billion are going to want that to
been,
work.
They have been, up to that point, super reliable.
They had probably seen a huge uptick.
Maybe that's it.
Based on all the attention.
People wanted to just check it out.
New folks downloading their app.
Yeah.
Could be
probably.
You know, more than they can handle overloading their servers.
210 minutes down, though.
It should have been on Squarespace. It wouldn't have been a problem.
Wouldn't have been a problem. somebody told me that they had 99.9% uptime up to that point.
Up to date, up to that point.
Yeah, it's known for being very reliable in terms of uptime.
First time
not
I can
so much
outage.
Security-wise, but...
Oh, really? Have there been security flaws with
there
WhatsApp?
There have been some publicized holes. Yeah.
I remember just last week, 4 Android malware applications, which have since been removed from the Play Store, so you don't have to worry about them. But they what they did is they signed you up for paid text messaging, expensive paid text messaging service where you get a $1.50 message every 3 minutes and nice. It comes out on your phone bill. But the way they did it, of course, they need your phone number, is it turns out WhatsApp puts your phone number in the clear in the data of the WhatsApp application.
Nice.
So they were just pulling the phone number from WhatsApp.
Ah, fantastic.
What is this guy's phone number? Oh, WhatsApp knows. Let's ask it.
This was actually a scam from an organized cybercrime ring based in Russia that racked up huge amounts of profits.
Very successful.
Targeting expensive text messaging scams.
It's the Russians. It's the Russians. When they're not busy fixing the Olympics.
You're talking about the skater.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Who has the most medals in the Winter Olympics this year? The Russians.
I thought we ended up with the most. But there's a couple, who knows?
You know, I could ask Google.
Yeah, don't ask Google.
Okay, Google. No. Who has the most?
You can't even know how to ask. It's like ridiculous.
Don't you notice, though, that that's the problem with this stuff is that you have to formulate the query because inevitably, if you just launch into it, you'll get it all screwed up.
Yeah, so it's a waste of everybody's time.
The most likely problem, I don't
No, the stuff that you...
Still going.
Still recording.
Yeah, try it again.
What did I get? How to ask questions the smart way.
Yeah, well, at least it's got some brains.
I use the keyword.
Snarky. It's something you can use. It's helpful.
Russia had 13 gold medals at number one. Norway was number two.
Total medals. We don't care.
33 Russia. Total medals.
Russia.
What about us?
We were in fourth place with 28 total.
Cheaters!
Well, actually, we were in second place on total medals. We were in fourth place on gold medals.
But Vladimir Putin looks good on a horse bareback.
But didn't this happen in Beijing 2 years ago where they won?
The Chinese?
Apparently
it's just part of the game. Nobody cares.
Well, isn't there something to be said for, like, you know, the boost that would give you for performing in front of your own country and doing it at home, blah, blah, blah.
You can't deny the bobsled is a timed event. You can't do much lead up to it.
Yeah, the famous second man syndrome.
12th man.
Yeah, but you're a Seahawks man?
In figure skating, it's just you and the second man.
Seahawks.
So that's all. I'm just saying, in figure skating, there's not 11 men on the field.
You were outdrawing everybody, and I was waiting.
Hey, you know what? I got to be back here at 11:30. Do you mind? Can I wrap this up?
I'm waiting. That's what I'm sitting here waiting for. I've been gone by now.
He wants you the droopy voice.
John C. Dvorak is at...
ChannelDvorak.com, NoAgendaShow.com, NoAgendaNation.com if you want to buy something that has goods and services.
Do you sell crap?
Dvorak.org/NA if you want to help the show continue on its merry way.
And he has excellent subscription SMS system. Only $2 rubles per SMS. You'll love it. You get a text every minute.
There you go.
I am never alone. I have John C. with me every day. All the time. All the time.
Okay. You didn't do the German voice. Come on.
I'm saving it. I got my Audi back, though. By the way, where is this Audi? They fixed it.
There's a big talk about the Audi. Oh, you got an Audi. So I've never seen this
for
car.
For a long time with the Audi, it thought I was driving in Bodega Bay. It had a beautiful, I have a picture of it, a beautiful Google map of me in the bay.
In the bay.
Which Audi did you get?
Oh, very nice
one. Eight.
I got the A8.
Oh, that's the big boy.
I was
$125,000 for that car.
I was told that the bigger the number, the better the car.
Yeah. Well, you should have bought the A9.
They don't make a 9.
Well,
I asked.
If you could ask, you have to ask with some more cash.
I said, Fritz, I wish to have the 9. He said, we do not make a 9.
He said, 9.
Nine.
Should have went straight for the R8.
I would have liked an R8.
Oh,
I did look at an R8.
Oh, the R8. Yeah, that's R8. The hot rod.
Too much car for me.
R32 is 4 times better. The Volkswagen.
He actually tried to get an A8 with a 6 in it.
So here I am driving down the street of Petaluma, although it looks like I am in Bodega Bay.
Mm. Right in the water.
So I brought it to the Audi dealer, and he says, we know there's a problem, but we cannot fix it. So what are you talking about?
That is a big problem if you're going to be in the bay.
We said, no, there's no fix for it. So then I tweeted it. I Google Plus'd it. I used social media.
Okay.
And rattled some cages. And the guy called me and says, I just got a call from Audi America. They wish me to fix your car. So they have fixed it.
The squeaky wheel.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
By the way, they've done something nasty to that car now.
No, what?
No, the guy gets a call from headquarters. It gets chewed out. You're going to have something. The car's going to stink like a fish.
He spit in the ashtray. I've been cooking my fish in there. I have the sauerkraut curing in the glove compartment. Ladies and gentlemen, we do this show, and sometimes we wish we hadn't, but we do this show every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC on twit.tv. Please join us live, because if you don't, well, we'll just have to sit here all by ourselves. On the other hand,
like tonight at 11:30.
Tonight is going to be very slow, very quiet, 2:30 Eastern in the morning. But if you can't watch live, you can get on-demand audio and video of every show we do at Twit. Just go to twit.tv or, you know, your favorite netcast distribution client, iTunes, Stitcher, something like that, and subscribe. You get it every week. If you'd like to be live in studio, we had a wonderful studio audience. Thank you for joining us this week. You can always email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you, put a nice automobile under the chair, a little Hot Wheel for you. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next time. Another twit is in the... I do it like this, right? Another twit is in the can. Hey, it works!
Hey. Thank you very much. Thank you.